Chapter 3. When Wayne Porter's throat was slit, he was thinking about the time he and his friend Joe Weidinger played hooky from Sunday school to climb into the church steeple. They'd pushed a table underneath a door in the ceiling of an unused room, put a chair on the table, and climbed into a honeycomb of passageways. The steeple, when they got there, like so much in life, was a disappointment. Bare fiberboard on the interior walls, a lot of pigeon shit, and not even a bell, just some electronic gizmo the size of his mom's kitchen radio. Interestingly, there was no pain, just the sudden gush of warmth, then a feeling as though his body were floating upward, floating away, before the world went dark around him. Where the hell did that come from? Jimmy thought as he woke, heart pounding, to realize that he wasn't breathing. And who was Wayne Porter? His hand had gone instinctively to his throat. He took a breath, looked around. He didn't usually have dreams. And when he did, they were smoky gray and edgeless, washed out like old movies, not vivid like this. He could remember every color, every angle and surface, every sound. That sensation of sudden warmth across his chest, eyes opening, the face above him already turning away. Shadows climbed up window and wall as a car passed slowly by. He'd never been like other children, afraid of the dark, always expecting the world somehow to move subversively against him. He understood that he was simply another object in it, like a rock or a tree. The world didn't care that he was there, and most of the people in it would never know, which was exactly what he wanted, what he needed. Nor was he in any manner frightened by this. But the dream was interesting. The book he'd been reading last night lay face down and open on the floor by his bed. Cities, a Survival Guide. The cover showed a man in safari khaki peering out from a shower curtain upon which were orange, blue, and green representations of oversized tropical flowers.